This is your last chance to enter the Ohio Lottery's Fun Turns 50 promotion. Score $3,500 and two tickets to the epic party at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, where you could win part of another $400,000 in cash prizes. Enter the new 50th anniversary scratch-off or $50 worth of eligible non-winning $5 or $10 scratch-offs and My Lotto rewards through the Ohio Lottery app. Hurry up! The last entry deadline is May 13th. Lottery players are subject to Ohio laws and commission regulations. Play responsibly.
Introducing Batiste Sweat-Activated and Touch-Activated Dry Shampoo. With breakthrough technology that absorbs oil and releases bursts of fragrance whenever you sweat or touch your hair for up to 24 hours, it's the ultimate hair care for girls on the go. Try the newest dry shampoo that's activated by you. Batiste, the future of hair care is here. Buy Batiste Dry Shampoo online or in store at your nearest retailer.
Modes of thought in Antarran literature. Second year classics, Harvard University.
Okay, I got it.
Yeah, it's
still
hard.
Totally, no problem. And it's about to start.
You see that? Levels, right? So if you just keep an eye on that, then you'll know it's recording.
Got it, okay. And then post it.
Right. Post it to the classroom webpage. I don't really know anything about that. You got the one sheet from Carol?
Yeah, it's pretty easy.
All right, thank you.
Okay, hi. Hello. Great, glad you're all here. Let's take our seats, please. Thank you. Some quick housekeeping, all right? This is Modes of Thought in Antarran Literature. Second year literature and classics. The syllabus number is L660, and because of the classics thing, C667. L660, C667. So your course list from the registrar should have one of those two numbers on it, or else you fucked up and you're in the wrong place. Sorry, wait, what?
What about intellectual history?
Just put C667. They don't include it in the intellectual history major automatically, but if that's your major, that's your major, yeah. Just talk to your advisor. They can switch the credits around. I've never seen anyone have a problem. Okay, cool. All righty then. Modes of thought in Antarran literature. Modes of thought in Antarran literature. So we're going to start off with a story from Mem Ihop.
I just got a text from Carol in the front office. She says there's a phone call for you. I think it's urgent.
It's nothing. Don't worry about it.
Okay, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
I'm going to start off with a story. I'm reading here from Mem Ihop. He was a writer early in the Second Empire, so we're talking roughly 68,000 BCE. Quote, Teosha, first mother of the world, divine human female, was sorrowful in the darkness, which went everywhere and was under everything. And she exclaimed, why should I be alone and know that I am alone? And her tears filled the rivers and the oceans. In her anguish, she bent her hands and her fingers until at last she removed the fourth finger from her left hand and planted it in the darkness, nursing it with the milk of her breast until Ecopa was born, already a grown man with full beard and broad shoulders and legs that straddled the mountains. And he said to her, you are the mother of the world. I will build a city from your milk. But his voice, being the voice of a god, was too strong for her, and set the winds in motion and made the clouds and the rain. And her ears bled, and her head was crushed from the sound, and her body was crushed from the sound, and she became the stars. This is how Teosha became the mother of earth and heaven." End quote. Okay, that's one version of the creation myth of Antara. There are a bunch of others, and we'll get into those. But there are two points in starting off with this. One, this is the only civilization we know of that has a human foremother. So that's really intriguing. Usually they start off with gods, right? The other point, and this might seem subtle, but get into it with me here. She says this line, "Why should I be alone and know that I am alone?" This is the oldest known reference to knowledge as a liability, a dangerous thing, even a lethal thing. And it comes almost 65,000 years before the Bible and the story of the Garden of Eden, right? Amazing. So, okay, what is the Antaran civilization? In order to get into the meat of this course, right, the modes of thought, of the literature, we need to understand a little bit more about the culture itself, the raw data. So let's do the historiography thing. Most of you know that seven years ago, there was an archaeological discovery of enormous significance. A Chinese submarine accidentally went down. It was a terrible tragedy. All 133 sailors aboard the sub perished. But, when the military sent down rescue drones, they got some very interesting pictures. And it turns out the sub had fallen smack in front of what we now call Isosceles III, right? The three-sided pyramid in the northeastern quadrant of the main city. The Chinese cordoned off the site very quickly, and they've been extremely close-lipped about their findings. But since it was initially, at least, an international rescue effort, we did get some data, and the scientific community continues to share research as best they can, considering how just incredibly stupid the politics around this are. So here's what we know. Way out in the middle of the southern quadrant of the Pacific Ocean, about 1,300 kilometers southwest of Papeete Island, at a depth of 4,500 meters below the surface, in what they call the abyssopelagic zone, the ruins of an ancient city were found. Shortly after, a road was discovered that stretches out from the city northeast. In the direction of that road, about 17 kilometers away, a second site was discovered 2 years after the initial find. They called the first city Prime A, and the second city, wait for it,
Prime B.
You got it, Prime B. Obviously, we've come to know these by different names, but we'll get to that. The carbon dating on the site that they have done so far brings us to the date 82,500 BCE. So yeah, 84,000 years ago. It's well before the oldest known culture, the Australian Aboriginals, though some scholars debate the 50,000 BCE date for the Aboriginal culture. Either way, without doubt at all, this is the oldest known human civilization, and it predates anything even vaguely close to it on a societal or technological scale by almost 60,000 years. It is incredible. It's the coolest thing. What do we have to build our understanding of the Antaran culture? What's the hard evidence? We have the archaeology. They've done some amazing work down there considering the depth. Just incredible, really. They're using sonar and also this really cool new technology called LIDAR, and we've got amazing 3D maps.
LIDAR?
Yeah, LIDAR. Say it, it's fun to say, LIDAR. Anyway, the imagery, it's all strictly topographical, so we don't know what's beneath the surface. That's a metaphor.
That's deep, man.
Yeah, deep. That's a good one. What's your name?
Chris.
Chris? Okay, I'm just gonna put a little gold star next to your name. So, okay, besides the maps, we have some photography of the sites, which is all low light underwater photography, which really lends it this kind of Blair Witch through night vision goggles vibe. For samples, well, there's not a ton, but they have managed to bring a few fascinating things up, and we'll get into that stuff pretty deeply, I can assure you. Sorry?
Are we gonna get to see any of the samples?
Yeah, I wish, man. But no, most likely we won't get to see any of the samples in person. They're being studied at the Beijing University, and like I said, politics, the Chinese government, really kind of keeping us out. The facility they have in Beijing is amazing. I've been there, and I know some of the professors there pretty well. So, you know, I'm in touch with them on the reg. Does anybody say on the reg anymore?
No.
All right, well, good for me. I'm bringing it back. Again, I'm not gonna go deep into the historiography stuff, but if you want more to look at, I would start off with Reed's and Terran historiography. And also Arroyo and Oscar, The Place of Antera. The Place of Antera is a really good one. Okay, are there any questions on that stuff so far? Oh, sorry, I didn't get your names yet. You, go ahead.
I looked for Reed in the bookstore. They didn't have it.
Yeah, that's not too surprising. I mean, actually it is, because that book is fascinating, but it goes out of print all the time, which is why it's not surprising you can't find it. But I mean, considering how incredible and game-changing the topic is and the discovery of Antera, I just don't know why these materials are hard to find. It makes no sense to me.
Okay, Professor, Carol texted me like 4 times, so I don't know if you want to go see what's happening.
No, but it's okay.
Okay.
We're good.
Okay, yeah.
Thank you.
Of course.
Thank you.
You owe someone some money.
Yeah, I gotta stop betting on professional wrestling. I think that stuff is fixed. Okay, for technology, seems like Antera was a Bronze Age culture, which expanded our understanding of when the Bronze Age began. But yeah, they have simple machines that are roughly equivalent to what we'll see in early Egypt, or probably more appropriately, early Mayan cultures. Like both of those societies, the Anterans were able to accomplish incredibly complex goals with very simple machines. So it's remarkable. Some of what they were doing, we still just don't understand. Lastly, writing. This is our focus, right? Inside the buildings on both sites, Prime A and Prime B, the walls are covered in thousands of characters. Thousands. The writing goes on practically every surface in the city. We have not yet found a wall that did not have at least one glyph carved in it. We'll go into some of the writing and the linguistics later as well, but what's shocking to me is the level of sort of obsession that this culture seemed to have with the written word and how it literally was the space in which they lived. So the writing can be broken up into 4 main subjects. Don't write this down, we don't need to take notes yet. Religion, history, trade, and philosophy. So that's where we're gonna put our focus during this class. The last thing that I will add to our little introduction today is a story from Ra Samana, who's an Interan philosopher, roughly 6500 BCE, so still Second Empire. She tells a story about a man who was at a banquet. And the man was at the banquet and he overheard a plot to kill the king. And the man figured the king should be alerted, that he would want to know, right? And that he would want to know so much that maybe the king would reward him with jewels and titles for saving his life. So in this moment, Ra Samana explains the man is standing in the light of knowing. We call it the light beam of knowing linguistically, but it's interesting. And the king is, get this, in the cave of ignorance. That's Plato's cave. Only this is about, I don't know, 62,000 years, 64,000 years before Plato. So the man goes and he tells the king about the plot. And the king doesn't believe him. The king says, no way, everyone loves me. It's utterly unthinkable. Why would anyone want to kill me? So the man realizes that he was wrong. He had thought he was standing in the light of knowledge. But in fact, he was in a cave of not knowing. In fact, he had gone from, before he knew this, being in a cave of not knowing, because he didn't know about the plot to assassinate the king, to an even darker cave of not knowing, which was that the king, who he respected and admired, wouldn't even listen to him. That's the point of our class together, okay? We're going to be reading the most ancient writings from human civilization, and as we learn, we may only be stepping from one cave of not knowing into a deeper and darker and scarier cave. So that's our journey together, folks. All right?
Ow! Ah! Jesus! You guys heard that? It's not just me, right? Ah! Wow!
Whew, sorry, we'll look into that for next week, make sure that doesn't happen again. Weird. Anyway, thank you guys. I'll see you next week. We're doing more of the creation myths, and it's a good idea to read the first two chapters in the book. You're probably not going to do that, but you should. All right, thanks everybody. Yeah, hello? Hello?
I'm not translating a goddamn word if you let me.
June, is that you? June? June, are you okay? Where the hell are you?
Modes of Thought in Interan Literature. This podcast is made possible by Harvard University, a grant from the National Endowment for the Humanities, the Peeler Prize in Archaeological Literature, and the Harbridge Family Trust, with an in-kind donation and production assistance from Wolf Door Studios. For more information and a reading list, please visit modesofthoughtpodcast.com.
The Fable and Folly Network, where fiction producers flourish.
Dum Dums and Dice would like to welcome you into the Mythos Mysteries, a live play Pulp Cthulhu podcast where improvisers and comedians venture into dangers beyond their wildest imagining. Our story begins with two erstwhile companions on a long and winding road. They think they are fleeing danger, but greater horror awaits them when they arrive. For they are not just running away from mortal danger, but towards the Mythos Mysteries.
Whoever you are, we're not scared of you.
You hear a voice from inside that says, "Please help. I'm inside the dresser. Help."
Now I need you to listen to my very explicit instructions here, Adrian.
Okay.
Please ready your punch and fists.
Yeah, they're always ready.
Now I'm gonna open the door.
Okay.
And we're gonna look inside the dresser.
What if we don't? Could we not?
I need you to be brave for me.
Okay.
You were always very brave.
Okay. So we're going to open the door and you're going to look in the dresser. And
yes.
Then what?
And then if I tell you to.
Yep.
We're going to punch it.
The dresser? You said I had to be very. You said explicit.
If there is someone in the dresser.
I'm punching.
We're going to punch it.
What if it's a ghost?
Well, then we're going to have ourselves a fun time. So,
like a party?
Like a birthday party.
Okay, so we'll do some dancing and there will be a cake. Hopefully the ghost brought it.
Yes.
Okay, I can do this.
Okay. I'm going to open the door now.
Okay.
I'm going to open the door.
You open the door and the dresser is back upright. All the drawers are back inside. But now it is next to the window and the bed is in a different corner.
Of course it is.
And the blood is pooling on the floor instead of the ceiling. It's dripping up.
The Mythos Mysteries. Episodes are available now.